Hey there, thanks for pressing play on this AHDB podcast. So, bit of news. Food and Farming and Agonomics have officially been retired. No more episodes coming. But wait, before you wander off into the podcast wilderness, we've got something new, shiny and weekly. It's called The Ag Show. It's got all the good stuff. Farming chats, fresh insights and a whole load of fun. New episodes drop every Wednesday at midday. Just search The Ag Show wherever you get your podcasts to give it a whirl.
Welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB, keeping levy payers informed and at the heart of the conversation.
Hello, and welcome to the first episode in this AHDB Monitor Farm series. I'm Katrina Thompson, one of the regional managers in our beef and lamb team, and in this series we'll be visiting three of our monitor farms to hear directly from the farmers. We'll find out what projects they've worked on as part of the programme, what improvements they've made, how it's all shaped their business performances, and what others can learn from them. So let's crack on. My colleague and fellow AHDB engagement manager, Tom Edwards, recently headed to Skagil Farm on the Devon-Cornwall border to meet Rob and Liz Priest. They farm around 500 acres across two sites, running an organic livestock system with beef cattle and sheep. Rob began by explaining where the drive to get involved in the Monitor Farm programme came from.
Lots of reasons. I guess probably the main one would be our friend Ian Norbury was Monitor Farm up in Cheshire. Saw that he'd done lots of bits and pieces and I think he, you know, had really enjoyed it and got a lot out of it as well. Ian would be fairly outgoing and easy to talk to. We're generally, you know, fairly easy to talk to, I think, and we're always up for anything. So if there's a new idea or whatever, we'll give it a go and not really worried about what the neighbours think. If we're growing something a bit different in the field and everybody's looking over the hedge going, what the hell are you doing? It's like, well, yeah, we're having a go. If it works, it works. And if it doesn't, then we'll put it to bed and move on. So we've grown herbal lays probably for 15, 20 years. Some people have laughed at us and, you know, here we are in 2025 and it's the only thing everybody's talking about. You know, we're not organic, but the farm's being farmed organically, and the herbal lays just work in that system. So no fertilizer at all. You know, we're producing a lot of grub off of them.
Was there anything in particular that you wanted to get from the Monitor Farm program?
I don't think when we started that there was a real, we've got to achieve this. I guess buying this, we needed to achieve productivity out of a new farm, which we had no idea how we were going to do that. Well, that's not right. We knew how we were going to do it because we had the confidence to buy it. But I think we just wanted direction, and if there was anything new out there that we needed to try, we were up for trying it.
I think we're always up for a challenge and to be challenged. So I think joining the Monitor Farm programme allowed us to be able to take all the things that we've learnt in the last 20-odd years since we've been farming across to a new farm and a new platform. And I think having other people come in and challenge why you're doing certain things and why you're not doing other things is always good for you and good for your business, because if you really understand why you're doing it or why you want to do it, then you've got a good reason, haven't you? So I think the Monitor Farm thing, I saw it definitely as a challenge and to potentially give us ideas about the things that we could try that maybe we've not come across before.
That's really interesting. Yeah. So what do you think your main challenges that you faced throughout that programme throughout the 4 years?
Well, we found the farm was very unproductive to start with. Didn't help that 2022 was particularly dry and 23 was particularly dry as well. We put in some reseeds and you know they did take, but not fantastically well and not as well as what I would have experienced in the past. But some of that was rushing, and it wasn't until we did some soil tests and found out, you know, really what was going on and delved deeper into the soil tests, not just NPK and pH. You know, they were looking at other trace elements, and that actually some of those trace elements need to balance out to make other things work. That was a bit of an eye-opener, certainly to me. And, you know, we've always been told, oh, if, as long as your NPK is all right and your pH is right, you're away. Well, the pHs were definitely not right, but the P and K was relatively good, but still we were lacking production. And, you know, I think the Monitor Farm has altered that dramatically.
Was it part of that, the getting those soil results back, that made you want to experiment with the Toenfurt and the fish waste hydrolysate and stuff like that?
Most definitely, because, you know, the maps that were produced, red and green, and they're like, you know, if it's red, you're lacking something. And there was a lot of red on the farm. And we needed to address those problems and things that we would never, you know, we would never have done or even thought of or even heard of 5 years ago. To find ourselves doing it, I probably would have laughed at somebody 5 years ago. And then there we are, you know, in the yard mixing up fish guts and molasses to spray on the field. And in such small quantities, that was what I couldn't get my head around. You know, it was only 20 litres a hectare, which is just nothing. I don't, you know, don't understand how it works at all, really. But we could see a difference, and we came back and we tested the grass, and the protein had come up, and, you know, the following year the grass was growing when the year before it hadn't been growing. You know, the biology then was tested again, and the soils had come alive with biology. You know, all we've done is spread a bit of fish gut and molasses, which was a little bit surprising, really.
So that was Tom Tolpert from Terra Farma. Do you think having him on board made that choice a little bit easier, and the confidence to go with it?
No, I think having the support of the Monitor Farm project and then being able to, you know, find somebody like Tom who's got so much knowledge about the soils and what you need to use and things like that, and he was giving us different ideas of things that we would never have tried on our own. So I think, as I said, having Tom and the support of the Monitor Farm project ensured that we could try different things and not think, why are we doing this? You know, give it a try and see what comes out of it.
And there's still more to do.
Yeah, so that sort of goes into the future sort of questions, really, as to what lies ahead for the farm in the future. And you're saying you think you might carry on with that project?
Well, we've applied for a grant to buy a Toenfurt. It's only a small one, I know, but Tom's talking about other things to put in. I can't remember what they are now off the top of my head, but if that's going to make a difference to us and make a difference to the ground, and, you know, we need to start at the basics of that's dealing with the soil and then get the grasses right. Stock will come later, but there's a whole world of things and it's evolving rapidly, I think.
And do you think there were any unexpected lessons or surprises along the way? I know that there are quite a few surprises with the Toenfurt and the fish waste and stuff like that, but was there anything that you could pinpoint?
It's quite a surprise when they've undone this fish waste.
Yeah.
And I think we tried the finely ground limestone flour,
yep,
and that wasn't as a success as we were hoping to be. But at least we had Matt and Tom here at the time who were able to say, that's all right, we can sort it out and we can get past it. I think, mm-hmm, if we tried something like that on our own and didn't have the support of those people, we might have been going, oh no, we've made a complete mess of it. One of the surprises maybe for me was that when people had been to the on-farm events, they were engaged and they did go away with some information and did learn something, because sometimes you're not sure whether other people actually know all these things and we don't know it. You know, and there was a conversation between one of the lamb selection days. There was one of the buyers from Dumbia Jaspers was there, and there was a local farmer who had been disappointed in his own lambs and the season with his lambs. And actually the buyer said, it is the season and everybody is struggling. So I think that gave real confidence almost to us and that farmer, thinking, actually, it's not us, it is just the season. We haven't done anything drastically wrong, it's just the weather's not helping and things like that. So it was a real good kind of conversation to have been had, and that's probably something that as farmers we miss out on, because those working at an abattoir or as buyers, they can see that because they can see lots of farms, lots of lambs, whereas we only see our own and maybe our neighbours or friends that we talk to on the phone.
I can't speak for the the previous events that were run over the 4 years, but having just done one on the 12th of June, that felt really good. Mm. The general feeling in the room was really good, how people came away with it and all the feedback that we had from that.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
And it was really good. People were engaged and asking lots of questions.
One guy messaged me and said, you know, the day had blown his mind and he'd gone home, dug some pits and was smelling his soil. So, you know, if we'd done good in one for one person, then we've achieved something. Mm-hmm.
Do you think this program's impacted your personal life on the farm or off the farm?
I think we've always been quite good in getting away from the farm. I know it's lots of people say, oh, we just can't get away. But I think this programme has actually shown us that it's even more important to take time away from the farm. Give yourself a chance to think about things, think about the projects that are going on, think about why you're doing certain things on farm. I think if you're always in it, you can't see the bigger picture and what's actually happening. So I do think it is really important to get away. And we do tend to go off farm to still discuss the farm and the business and things like that. But it just allows you that bit of space away from the day to day, and you can't get called. The phone doesn't ring and you can't run outside and fix the tractor or do something for somebody.
Even if it's just a busman's holiday to another farm walk, at least you're away from home. And you know, sometimes we've come home from a farm event and gone, well, I wouldn't want to do that. But if that cements what you're doing in your head, then that's fine, isn't it? It's when you get there and you go, oh my God, we are doing it so wrong. You know, that's the key to it, is getting off and seeing what somebody else is doing, and not necessarily what you're doing is correct, or not necessarily that what you're doing is wrong either. But either way, it just gets you off and gets you thinking about what you're doing.
Would you give any advice to other farmers like considering these sorts of programs or this sort of thing?
I'd definitely say go for it, give it a try. What have you really got to lose if to give it a go? And you have got to be prepared that somebody's going to come in and have a look at your business and question you about why you're doing things and why you haven't done something maybe. But I do think it's really good. We don't get that opportunity as farmers for a group of people to come in and question why you're doing things and why you haven't done something. But I do think it's really useful to give you that insight as to how other people might do things, and to help you think about different ways that you might approach a problem or an issue that comes forward. I think sometimes it's because we're so used to dealing with issues and sorting things out. We do it in the way that we would, but we maybe don't always have time to take a step back and think, how would somebody else approach this or that sort of thing. So, and I think that the Monitor Farm programme is really useful, not just for us, but hopefully for other farmers in the area who came to the events and have maybe, you know, seen some of the publicity that's come from it and things like that. It's challenging, but it's a good challenge.
Now that the Monitor Farm programme has ended, what do you think is next for you and your business?
So we've applied for a grant for a small tome fert. So we are going to carry on spraying. Whether we need to carry on spraying with the bugs, I'm not too sure. There's new products coming on the market all the time. It seems to be gathering momentum. We recently visited Groundswell, and you know, sort of every other one that we went past were talking about soils and, you know, put this on or put that on. But you know, that's where we are. We're, I guess, at the lambs, we will still be, you know, again next year looking to sell them younger and lighter compared to what we would have done traditionally. So that was a fair help, I think, going forward. Still see us being very much grass-based and probably organic as well. The next 2 years will be quite interesting, and then after that, whether our children are back in the fold or not, I don't know. But that will be a whole other chapter if either one of those come back and want to start changing things. We kind of like the idea of having people on farm, whether they're working in this building or you know, they've got a little plot of land here that just interacts with what we're doing. give somebody else an opportunity, but we kind of just, well, we like people and we like to see people having a go. And if we can, you know, throw our support behind that and earn something out of it as well, then happy days.
I think there'll be a short time of kind of consolidation really for the business following the Monitor Farm, because I think it's good having changes and things moving forward, but I do think sometimes you do need to kind of stop and look back and see what we've achieved, mm-hmm. And then decide which way we're going to go. I think it's very easy to kind of keep going with another change and something else happening and what are we going to do this week and things like that. So I think it's important to take a step back, see what we've achieved so far.
And with that in mind, if you could go back to the start, is there anything that you'd do differently?
Maybe having a consultant who was with us throughout the whole journey would have been helpful. Apart from that, I don't think that we would have changed a great deal. We delayed the start of us as Monitor Farmers by 6 months due to the sale and purchase of HIA. So I kind of always felt that's put us on a bit of a back foot because we didn't get started as mm-hmm. as some of the others. But not everything lines up exactly as you want it to.
A big thank you to Rob and Liz Priest for sharing their journey at Skagill Farm on the Devon-Cornwall border. That soil health and grassland management approach is essential when they're being repeatedly challenged by wet weather. Next time, we'll head to Norfolk to meet David Cross at Glover's Farm, who has made the transition from arable to a mixed livestock system. In the meantime, if you'd like to read more about our Monitor Farmers or find additional resources, please visit our AHDB Farm Excellence pages.
If you have any comments about this podcast or have ideas for future episodes, please email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk.